victory was within his grasp. On the commander's deck of the Anakin Solo, air was whistling away through a web of hairline cracks in the blast shield. Kydus's day cabin was gone, and a concave blowout cup was forming in what used to be an interior wall. Lockdown alarms were blaring in every cabin on the bridge, and the entire command staff was running for the hatchways. But Kydus stood calmly in the tactical salon, his gaze fixed on the holo display, as though he were trying to make sense of the disjointed battle depicted there. He already knew what had happened, of course. The Jedi had used the blood trail to lure him into an ambush. Then Luke had led a desperate attack on the Anakin Solo in an attempt to take him out. And Kydus had survived. Kydus was staring at the holo display, but seeing a throne, a white throne, in a brightly lit chamber. There was no one on it, but it was surrounded by 100 beings regal enough to belong in the seat. They were beings of all species. Bothans and Hutts, Ishi Tib and Mon Calamari, even humans and squibs. And they all had the easy, amicable bearing of old friends. But what held Kydus there, what kept him staring at the vision with no regard for the screaming alarm sirens or the flimsoplast fluttering past on escaping air, was the tall, red-headed woman at the center of the crowd. She had her mother's thin, arcing brows and full-lipped mouth, but her nose was her grandmother's. Small and not too long, with just a hint of a button at the end. "Lord Kydus!" Tahiri's voice had grown as shrill as the lockdown alarms, and she was tugging his arm, trying in vain to move him away from the holo display. "What's wrong with you?" "Wrong? Nothing. Nothing at all." Kydus kept himself rooted to the deck, continuing to stare at his grown-up Alana, until a piece of flimsoplast blew through the holograph. Then the white throne and the regal friends all faded away, and the face of his beautiful daughter twisted into the angry, hateful visage of his sister, Jaina. "Get ready, Kydus," she was warning him. "Here I come." Kydus laughed. "I'm ready, Jaina." He turned his back on the vision, finally allowing Tahiri to pull him away. "And I've already won."
"I'm sorry, my lord?"
Tahiri continued to hold his arm, literally dragging him out of the hatch at the rear of the salon.
"I don't understand."
"Jaina is coming for me," Kydus explained, still laughing. "Luke Skywalker couldn't kill me. What does she expect to do?"
"I honestly don't know," Tahiri said.
She sealed the hatch, and the whistle of escaping air grew inaudible.
"But it wouldn't do to get careless. You're still recovering, and she's..."
"Practically dead already," Kydus said, starting toward the turbo lift. "My sister is nothing to be concerned with.
We've won. I've seen it."
Tahiri looked more worried than convinced, but rather than argue the point, she seemed content just to pull him into the turbo lift. As they descended toward the auxiliary command center, hidden deep in well-protected bowels of the vessel, she took a moment to straighten her own robes, then stepped around in front of him and began to tug his robes into place.
"The Moffs are in a bad state," she warned him. "They're scared."
"Of course they're scared," Kydus said.
"They think only of themselves, and they fear only for their own lives." Tahiri folded back the lapel of his outer cloak.
"Actually, they're just as worried about their assault fleet," she explained. "They're afraid we're going to lose the war."
"Lose?" Kydus scoffed. "Haven't they been viewing the intelligence briefings?"
"They're more concerned about our situation here," she said. "Actually, so am I."
Kydus's temper began to rise,
but he did not let his anger take control of him.
"I appreciate the warning, Tahiri," Kydus said. "I'll be sure to reassure them." The turbolift reached the auxiliary command center and stopped. The lift doors opened,